This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Major Kendra Rotunda, U.S. Army retired. She's a former member of the prosecution team for the U.S. Army at Guantanamo Bay. She's currently both a lecturer at the UC Berkeley Law School in California. She's also with the Chapman University School of Law in California as well. In addition, she's the author of Honor Bound, Inside the Guantanamo Trials. And as you might imagine, we want to get her thoughts on the Obama administration reversing course and going back very close, if not exactly, to the Bush administration policy on prosecuting terrorist detainees at Guantanamo in military tribunals. And Kendra, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Once the administration suspended its earlier decision, I guess a lot of people probably weren't surprised by Monday's decision too much. But what do you make of the fact that the Obama administration started out so intent on bringing these trials to civilian federal court and now is pretty much back where the Bush administration policy was?
Well, they've very much done an about-face. You know, there's no doubt about it. 2 years ago, President Obama said that he was going to close Guantanamo Bay, that there wouldn't be military commissions there, and now we learned just yesterday that they, in fact, are going to try at least the 9/11 co-conspirators, so there'll be five of them at least by military commission in Guantanamo. So, you know, what's interesting about it also is that the administration did not come to this decision on their own. They really were brought there kicking and screaming because Congress had decided to not to give any federal funding to bring detainees to the United States for either trial or detention. And so the Obama administration has been really kind of, their hand has been forced, and they're going back to a military commission's process.
So it's not like they saw the light. When Eric Holder on Monday basically said politics is responsible for this, and he said so in a not exactly pleasant way, that's pretty much the way it happened?
Right. He was very regretful of it, doesn't think it's the right thing to do. But, you know, Congress has clearly spoken. The American people have clearly spoken. Military commissions have a very strong track record. We've been doing them in our country literally since the Revolutionary War. They're backed by the Supreme Court. We now have a Democratic Congress actually backing them with the Military Commissions Act of 2009. They made some revisions to the 06 version, but it's very similar to what existed under the Bush administration. And so now, you know, we're back to a system of trying them before military commissions.
And this might be a little bit outside your expertise, but maybe not. In terms of whether or not that was the proper role for Congress, Holder seemed to suggest that it's the executive branch's job to decide where these types of trials should be held, and Congress should pretty much butt out. Is that the way the system is supposed to work, or did Congress get it right?
Mr. Holder needs to take a look at the Homden case. It's a Supreme Court case from 2006. And what happened in that case is that the Supreme Court specifically said that Congress needed to be involved in drafting the rules for military commissions. It is true that before that time, this was just a creature of the executive branch. In every previous war, it's always been just a creature of the executive branch, that the executive branch can decide when to have military commissions and how to have them. But after this decision in 06, the Supreme Court struck down military commissions, saying that the Bush administration had not gone to Congress and that it should go to Congress, and that is how we ended up with federal law governing military commissions, the 2006 Military Commissions Act and now the 2009. So the Supreme Court has spoken on that. It's true that it is a bit of a reversal from the Supreme Court's earlier take on military commissions. And, you know, I tend to agree with General Holder that really they should be a creature of the executive branch. But frankly, the court has spoken and they are not. They now require support and approval by members of Congress. And that's what Congress has done. They have approved the Military Commissions Act.
We're talking with retired U.S. Army Major Kendra Rotunda. She was part of the U.S. Army's prosecution team at Guantanamo. Her book is Honor Bound, Inside the Guantanamo Trials. And Kendra, just walk our listeners a little bit through the tribunal process and how it's mainly different, what the major differences are between a regular trial, whether it's information that can be kept classified, whether different standards of proof are in place. What are the major differences?
Well, what has happened actually over time as these provisions have been codified by Congress now and improved upon, they are, frankly, very similar to what defendants would get in civilian trials. It is true that there are provisions to deal with classified information and things along those lines. It is true that some evidence can come in at military commissions that wouldn't probably be able to come in a federal court. Things like speedy trial and those type of things are not going to apply in military commissions. You don't have to have Mirandized the defendant as you would in, you know, with evidence brought before civilian court. So there are a number of differences, but frankly, they are really very similar. The Military Commissions Act is really quite robust and does provide for a lot of procedural protections. In many ways, actually in some ways, it provides for greater procedural protections than what civilian defendants get. There's a definition of conspiracy under the Military Commissions Act that make it more difficult to convict someone of conspiracy than the definitions that apply to civilian defendants in federal court. So it actually might be a little bit more difficult to convict of conspiracy by military commission than it would be if we brought them, if we brought these defendants before a civilian court. So there are a lot of, quite a few differences, but in many respects they're really, really much the same in terms of the fundamental procedural protections that apply.
Didn't we see that in the Hamdan case? The issue about the level of conspiracy needed to be proven?
Yeah, it's been an issue that has been consistently briefed and argued by lawyers bringing these cases in Guantanamo Bay should we be able to try defendants with crimes that rest in conspiracy? Some argue that conspiracy is not a law of war violation, that it's not a war crime that should be punishable by military commission. But it now is codified in federal law, the Military Commissions Act, although it is codified in a little different way. It makes it more difficult to convict the defendant of conspiracy by military commission.
Kendra, I heard one commentator this morning saying that anyone who's got a problem with trying likely and suspected terrorists under the Uniform Code of Military Justice don't seem to have many problems when our own servicemen go through the legal system that way. Is it a good comparison, or is the fact that our service members are by and large citizens and so forth give them additional rights that that the detainees would not?
It is similar to military commissions in a number of ways. There are different, there are kind of different crimes that are codified under military commissions than what are codified under the UCMJ. There are some different procedure protections and such, but they are very much the same. I do think, they're very similar. I do think it was sort of ironic, if you think about it, when the Bush administration wanted to bring enemy combatants to trial before civilian court, while our own soldiers, as you pointed out, are tried by the UCMJ. They're tried by courts martials. And so what you would have had is the trial of Major Hassan going forward in a courts martial, a military court. He was the Fort Hood shooter. And then the trial of the 9/11 conspirators possibly going forward in a civilian court with greater procedural protection. So that really would have, I think, turned the rule of law on its head. And now things are back as they should be, with service members are tried by military courts, and enemy combatants who commit war crimes during a time of war are tried by military commissions. That's how it's always been. That's how it ought to be. Otherwise, you end up getting entangled in trying to lay crime scene tape on a battlefield and trying to Mirandize everybody and indict everybody before they're brought to trial. That's why military commissions exist, to be able to bring these cases to justice that occurred kind of in the chaos of war, where you can't afford the same kind of investigatory, protections and those things as you could during a time of peace in our own country.
Kendra, very interesting to watch this whole debate wind around and eventually end up very close to where it started. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Major Kendra Rotunda, U.S. Army retired. She is now affiliated with both the UC Berkeley Law School as well as the Chapman University School of Law, both in California. Her book is Honor Bound, Inside the Guantanamo Trials. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.